In the first chapter of Mark's Gospel, which we have been hearing over the course of this Epiphany season, we can see the origins of the movement to which we now belong. The call to discipleship, to follow Jesus, and let others know about His healing work. And we can also see in this first chapter the shape of the lives of discipleship that we are called to lead. This week's gospel lesson picks up right where last week's gospel lesson ended and tells us what happened in the afternoon and evening of the Sabbath day that began, as described in last week's passage, with Jesus and His four new disciples entering a synagogue in Capernaum. There, Jesus reflected upon the Scriptures with such authority that the people gathered were amazed. And then He confronted a tormented man. And when confronted with a tormented man, He also taught the people by healing that man, casting out the demon that tormented him. And given the impression that Jesus made in the synagogue that morning, Jesus' fame quickly began to spread throughout the region. And that was just the morning. In this week's passage, we continue with what happened after church, so to speak, when Jesus and His disciples left the synagogue. Jesus and His new disciples go to the house that belongs to two of them, to Simon Peter and Andrew. As a reminder, it is worth noting what happened immediately prior to this extraordinary Sabbath day in Capernaum, specifically the calling of the first disciples, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, to leave their nets and follow Jesus. So when we reach the synagogue, when we reach this Sabbath day, there are not 12 disciples, just four. But I imagine if these four disciples had any initial doubts about their decision to leave their nets and follow Jesus, their concerns were allayed by the events of this Sabbath day in Capernaum. After the events in the synagogue, and with Jesus' fame quickly spreading in Capernaum and throughout the surrounding region, Jesus and His four disciples now head to Peter and Andrew's house. And it isn't clear whether they arrived there knowing that Peter's mother-in-law was sick. Perhaps they arrived just planning to have their midday meal. But instead, they found Peter's mother-in-law in bed with a fever. The passage tells us that disciples then told Jesus about her at once. And Jesus came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. She was healed immediately and then began to serve them. Or as some other translations read, she prepared a meal for them. Now, I will point out, there's a question that's not answered by the text as to the purpose for Jesus' healing. Was He healing her so that she could get up and fix lunch? Or, more likely, I would presume, was He healing her because she was sick and she was so overcome with gratitude and with the feeling of being a good host that she wanted to offer hospitality to her son-in-law and family and this new guest who had healed her. By evening, word had quickly spread about Jesus' power and authority demonstrated in the synagogue and perhaps as well with the healing of Peter's mother-in-law, such that the whole city was gathered around the door to Peter's house as they brought to Jesus all who were sick or tormented, and Jesus healed them. as they watched all of this, I imagine that Peter, Andrew, James, and John were amazed and astounded like everyone else. They probably began to have some deeper sense of the extraordinary nature of the call to follow Jesus that had led them to leave their nets and follow. I imagine that for years to come, Peter and Andrew and James and John would recount the exciting details of this day to the other disciples and to other Christian communities to whom they would later minister. That is why we know these details. They had been there at the beginning, when no one had any idea who Jesus was, when they were just ordinary fishermen leading ordinary lives. And within that first Sabbath day that followed their initial encounter on the shore, Jesus had turned their world upside down. Where there had initially been one man standing on the shore and then four following him, there were quickly crowds, the entire city of Capernaum, clamoring to see and hear Jesus. But Jesus did not come merely to be the great healer and teacher of Capernaum, though much good would likely have come from that. Instead, the next morning, Jesus got up very early, found a quiet place, and prayed. And then, when the disciples came to him with the news of the crowds, he said, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And then they were on the move, spreading the good news of God's kingdom and offering healing to the crowds throughout Galilee and ultimately beyond as they gathered more disciples. And so, in the first chapter of Mark's Gospel, which we will now leave behind after this Sunday, we can see the origins of the movement to which we now belong. The call to discipleship, to follow Jesus, and let others know about His healing work. And we can also see it in the shape the lives of discipleship that we are called to lead. We are to let go of the nets that prevent us from following Him. We are called to gather faithfully for worship together, just as Jesus and His disciples did in the synagogue that morning, to listen to His holy word in Scripture, to take care of the sick and the suffering in our midst, to set aside, to care for our families and those whom have been entrusted to us, just as Peter made sure that his mother-in-law was cared for on that day. And then we are to set aside time for solitude and prayer, even when our lives are crowded with demands. And then we are keep moving, not necessarily physically from place to place, but always trying to find new ways to share the love of Christ with the world around us. This is the life of discipleship. This is our common calling. Like Peter's mother-in-law, we are, each of us, being healed by our encounter with Jesus and His saving work. Let us respond in kind by serving Him and one another.